Greetings to each of you in our precious Savior's name. This evening, the question that I have in my mind as I look out across this audience and I see faces of those that I am acquainted with and many who I am not, my question is that tonight, are you thrilled to be a part of the kingdom of God? Are you thrilled to be a part of his eternal kingdom and a part of the church of Jesus Christ? I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 78. Brother Chris in the devotional brought our attention to several men in the Old Testament and then concluded in the New Testament with very challenging thoughts from the Apostle Paul. But he pointed us to men who God was using to grow his kingdom. God was working in and through them for his own purposes. We know that King Saul, of course, started out right, and his heart was not in tune with God's. And David continued that work, a man after God's own heart. The songs we sang this evening, I noticed that the dates that were listed there with the authors, they represented songwriters of generations ago. And tonight we're singing their songs. We're singing the words that they penned as they were inspired on their journey with Christ, as they faced the challenges in their walk with God. And tonight, here we are in 2023. What does God have for the church today? What does God have in mind for you? What is our purpose here in this world, in this point in time? We get caught up in our work activities. There's jobs, there's things that need attended to. But what is the purpose? Is God working and moving in your life today? Do you see him at work? I like to read Psalm 78. I like to read the first 19 verses and then a few verses at the end of this psalm. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Over in verse 67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And the verses in between that I did not read gives the history of the children of Israel and their experience mostly of failing to honor God and their rebellion against him, and the fact that many, many times they did not see his work in their kingdom and even in their personal lives. We have this thought, this phrase twice in these verses, that the generation to come, or the generation to come. We have that in verse 4. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. And then again in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. The generation to come. Maybe a week or so ago, I'm not even sure if it was in my personal Bible reading or if I heard someone mention this phrase, maybe in a church service, but this thought, the generation to come. And as I thought about an ordination service and the work of the church and a work that needs to go on, tonight, brothers and sisters, we're here because of the generation to come, partly. There's a church today. There's a congregation here at Cornerstone that meets on a regular basis. You live and move in this community. And as you worship together, and as you serve together, and as you share in Sunday school teaching and in the worship services, and as you reach out in the community, there's a work that needs done today. But over and beyond that, there's a generation to come that needs a heritage of faith. And this evening we're here tonight because the church needs leadership today, but there is a generation to come. Since the time our first parents were deceived by Satan and believed and acted upon his word rather than believing God, there is a heavenly call that continues to ring down through the ages of time. And it's this call to men and women that they would seek God, that they would seek his face, that they would call on him and live for him. And this call continues down through the ages to today, and it's a call that Christ is expecting the church to continue to put the call out and to invite men and women to join the congregation of saints, as it were. Inviting men and women to believe and honor the one true God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And tonight we need to believe that God is. A brother in the devotional called you brethren and sisters to trust. It's because God is. We're here tonight and we trust fully that he will reveal his will because he is. The church today can go on because God is. Sometimes we spend a fair amount of time thinking about the evils of the world around us, the atrocities that are happening around us compared to years ago. And the question that came to my mind as I thought about this service is, so what hope have we of the future? Do we expect a young leader to be able to take up a work? Is it possible in this day and age? And it is, because God is. God is. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is looking to bless those who diligently seek him, those who are serious about their Christian life. Have we lost the diligence? Have we lost the desire to seek him? That's a challenge to my own life. Life is busy. And maybe some of you think that certainly church leaders would never lose sight of that vision and that goal. But we get busy. We get caught up even in the things that are right and good, even in church work. But beyond keeping a program going, beyond keeping a church going, our vision needs to be that we must seek him diligently. Because God is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In these last days are evil days. And they are days when God needs you and his kingdom. God is looking to you to glorify his most holy name. These are evil days. Days in which the generation to come needs more than simply a set of rules to guide their life by, but they need conviction. All of us here tonight, we're facing the enemy of our souls, and we're facing things today. We're facing the world around us that is rejecting the absolutes that God has established from the creation on up until today. And it's going to take personal conviction, solid personal conviction against sin, against carnality, against worldliness, against pleasure-seeking. And it's the only way that the generation to come is going to be able to make it as we endeavor to help ourselves and help them build conviction. We need rules. I believe, I love our church and I love our decrees. And I believe it's a set of guidelines that had much thought put into it. And our ministry, as we sit together and as we look at guidelines and face issues that were of our day, our leaders have nothing but the best interest in mind for their people. They want their people to learn to believe that God is. They want their people to diligently seek him. And we endeavor to give warning to those things that are distractions to that very point and that very endeavor. Guidelines are good. Guidelines are right. Guidelines help in identifying a vision. Guidelines that help in rallying people around a vision and a goal. But this evening, I believe that as we look around us and we know the needs of our own heart, we need men, we need fathers, we need mothers with conviction. Yesterday, as we sat together and as we shared together with these couples, talked about the Christian life, talked about church life, talked about home life, and I believe it was one of these brothers that made this statement that godly fathers that have a vision for what's right go a long way to building good church life, something to that effect. And I believe tonight, fathers, that it's the burden is on you. The church needs you. God needs you in his kingdom. Leaders can do so much, only so much. But God is depending on you to be men of conviction. And so in this age, in this generation, we need church leaders. We need fathers and mothers. We need youth who diligently seek the Lord. Sometimes we hear this statement made that our youth are the church of tomorrow. And I say tonight that youth are the church of today. We need you. God needs you in his kingdom. And God is calling you to diligently seek his face. Diligently seeking. This phrase, diligently seek, this word means to search out, to crave, to demand, to worship. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of seriousness. Diligently seeking the Lord. Why is it that we struggle to find time to read our Bibles? Other than the fact that I don't diligently seek the Lord every day. There are things that I diligently do. And in your business and in your work, whether it's taking care of livestock, whether it's working with machinery, whether it's managing people, whatever your calling is, there are things that need diligent attention if it's going to work. If you're going to be faithful to the Lord today and in this age, you need to be diligent about your relationship with Him. And so God's heart has been and today and is today, His heart is that we would seek after Him. This call to follow God was a call that came to various men throughout the Old Testament. Brother Chris already referred to some of those. Adam and Eve's decision to take heed to what the devil had to offer them caused a lot of trouble in their own lives, caused trouble in their family. We know the story of Cain and Abel. Later, Eve bare Seth. And later on, Seth bare Enos. And it tells us there that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. We don't know much about Enos. But he was a man, I believe, that diligently sought after the Lord. He diligently sought after the Lord. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us there that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man that cared about the work of the Lord. He cared about the word of God. He cared about those around him that were walking away from God and were living their own lives, their own selfish lives. He was a preacher of righteousness. Abraham answered God's call to step out in faith and follow him. God promised to Abraham that if he follows him, if he walks with him, if he steps out in faith, he would cause his children, his offspring, to be as the sand of the seashore. And Abraham answered that call. Moses answered God's call at the burning bush. And he faithfully proclaimed the name of God. He led God's people to the promised land. And we had faithful men all through those years and up until the time of Christ. The prophets were faithful. I'll be reading a few verses from Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4 and verse 11 through 13, we have these words. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a fair brand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he hath formed the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Prepare to meet thy God. It was the message that God was bringing to his people down through the ages of time. And it was God's heart. Ever since he found Adam hiding from him in the garden, God's message to man was that they would seek the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55, we have these words. Isaiah 55 and verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. God continued to call down through the ages. And his call was many times to individuals, that they would be faithful in their generation. And every person today, we serve our own generation, don't we? One of these times, we will pass off the scenes of life. Another generation will take up the work of the kingdom as the Lord tarries. But every person serves his own generation and only that generation. And so that tonight, God is calling you, all of you here this evening, he's calling you to serve him in this generation. He is calling you to proclaim this message to those around you. And most of all, and most importantly, to live this out in your own heart and your own life. I'd like to just draw a few thoughts from this psalm that we read. First of all, as we have here in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, declaring the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works. Our God will never be defeated. He will never be overthrown. He will never be taken by surprise. His promises never fail. His grace is always sufficient. His love reaches to all mankind. He can save from the uttermost depths of sin, and he can save men to the uttermost heights of spiritual victory and completeness in him. And this evening, God is calling us in this generation to declare what he has done for us. Declare what he has done for us. What is it that the Lord has done for you? Do you know what it is like to be saved from the uttermost depth of sin and saved to the uttermost heights of spiritual victory and completeness in him? We know tonight that the Christian life is real. And the Christian life is not an easy road. And being saved to the uttermost height of spiritual victory and completeness in him is not a testimony that comes without a lot of hard work. It comes only through having a definite goal in mind, and that is to serve the Lord. But tonight, God wants you to be faithful. Defeat in our Christian lives is not necessary. Spiritual defeat comes from our own choices and not because of the choices of others. God wants to save you to the uttermost height of spiritual victory and completeness in him. Our God will never let us down, and he will continue to reign supreme. We need to declare the blessings that God has brought and bestowed into our lives. Declare the blessings of the church. The church of Jesus Christ continues to move forward. And Christ continues to build his church. Sometimes it seems like the challenges that come to the church are overwhelming. Sometimes it seems that people are being defeated. But tonight, Christ continues to build his church. Building speaks of progress. It speaks of establishing stability. When a physical building is being built, and as it progresses, there's greater stability until that building structure is complete and the walls are all there, the windows are installed, the doors are there, and it's a complete structure that is stable as long as it has a solid foundation. Building speaks of growing larger and expanding. Building speaks of hope for the future. Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it means that today we can be victorious in our own personal lives and in the building of his kingdom. Are we as leaders establishing hope for the next generation? Sometimes we come to a wedding service, and I've thought about this numerous times. Sometimes at weddings or in a sermon related to marriage, a brother will talk about the statistics of faithful marriages compared to otherwise. And it's astounding. What hope do we have? I've asked myself that already as I prepared in the morning to thought about a wedding later that day. And as a minister of the gospel and declaring a man and woman, husband and wife, what hope is there? But tonight we have confidence because God is. We have confidence because He is building His church. We have confidence because He never fails. His Holy Spirit and the power that is available to us to live godly lives is available, and the power is there as long as we choose it. We could think of a baptismal service. What hope is there that young people can keep the vows they make? What hope is there that one of these brethren this evening that will be called is able to carry out the promises that he will make tonight? It's because God is building his church. And as we follow him and as we follow his blueprint for church life and his laws for our own personal lives, we can be faithful to him. The songwriter wrote the song, "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken." The first verse says this, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes." The last verse says, "Savior, since of Zion's city, I through grace a member am. Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasures, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know." Tonight, that's the God that I want to serve. And that's the kingdom that I want to be a part of. Declare the blessings of a godly brotherhood. There are blessings that we enjoy today in church life. They are solid blessings. Think about things such as a plural ministry and the blessing that is to a congregation and to church life. The wisdom that is there, the way brothers can work together in guiding and leading the church and working through issues. Another blessing in faithful church life is the fact that there are men that are willing to be used of God. And I thought about that today again as I thought of the blessings of the church. And there are many more that we could look at. But we enjoy church life today that many people only dream of and aren't sure how it would ever work. Where we have brothers that are willing in the congregation to be called of God and are willing to put their lives, lay their lives open before the Master. What a blessing. This evening, is the church perfect? Certainly not. It's made up of imperfect members. But tonight, the Lord of the church is perfect. The Lord of the church is the one who directs us and leads us, and he has a plan and purpose for our lives. Declare the goodness of God in your personal walk of life. How precious is your salvation? Do you really love the Lord? Declare God's blessings and his faithfulness. Are you diligently seeking to know Christ better? Our brother this evening read those verses from Philippians where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him. Paul was a man who we look up to. He's a man that by that point in time in his life, we would say that Paul was close to Christ. He knew Christ. It was It was only because of Christ that he endured the affliction and the persecution. And his heart cry still was that I would know him better, that I would know him. Do we desire to grow in his image? He says here in verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." God had given his law to his people. And God called his people, he called fathers, he called mothers, to declare God's law to their children. And so that it could be passed on to their children, he established a testimony and appointed a law. In verses 8 through 11, he says, "And might not be as their fathers." We have this word, stubborn, rebellious. Spirit was not steadfast, kept not covenant, refused, forgot his works. That's the terminology we have describing the children of Israel. And it was not a good commentary. And the next generation, their children, lost their way and rejected God in their lives. These descriptions sound like 2023, don't they? People are walking away from God, rejecting him. Sometimes there are those in the church with privilege, with opportunity, that walk away from him and keep not covenant and forget his works. Today, God has laws as well. His design for marriage, his plan for gender identification and their respective roles, and the list goes on and on. We know today the things that men around us are rejecting. Men around us are walking away from God and denying him. But God has given us his law. He has given us his word. He has given us a moral law. He has given us direction that we are called to follow. Tonight, we have a blueprint. Many of you have it, and you're holding it in your hands. And it's God's design. It's his plan for life. It's the rules that he has established for a godly walk with him. And we have Jesus teaching in the Gospels, and then the apostles' direction. We have direction where God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." We have teaching on separation and nonconformity. "Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Tonight, nonconformity starts in the mind and it's lost in the mind. And then the outworking shows up in a person's life. Nonconformity is an issue of the mind. When our heart is set on diligently seeking the Lord, so many questions and so many tension points in life are solved and resolved. Diligently seeking the Lord in the church and among the saints. There's a lot of energy, I think, that goes into looking at the laws and looking at the rules. What we may do and what we may not do. Deciding if the church has drawn the line at the right place. And sometimes there's debating. It seems like we spend some time debating just how close we can get to the world and still be approved of God. And tonight, my challenge is that all of us here this evening would diligently seek him. Diligently seek his face. It answers a lot of questions. This evening, the Church of Jesus Christ is moving forward. One of you will be chosen to serve a specific role in his work, a specific role in ministry. God has designed that deacons would lead out in the work of assisting and handling of the finances of the congregation. And the work of a deacon has a broad spectrum, from preaching and teaching, from reaching out to those that need encouragement, assisting in pastoring work, advising families in a healthcare journey, maybe supporting the outreach committee in their work, teaching instruction class, and the list goes on and on. God needs leaders. And I believe that the role of a deacon many times is essential in effecting peace and rest in a congregation. To the one that God calls, may God bless you in that calling. He'll be faithful in assisting you and empowering you, because God is concerned about the generation to come. And he's looking for a leader to assist in that work, that the generation to come, and whether God calls you to a specific work, whoever you are here this evening, and especially to the two of you that God is not going to give a specific new calling, God needs you in this kingdom. God needs you in his work because of the generation to come. May God bless.